Hey, happy Friday, and thanks for joining me on another little devotional for Fridays at Noon. So I'm Carla with RaisedToWalk.org, and for the past few weeks, I've been doing a weekly Bible study and that goes along with the one-year chronological Bible. So if you haven't checked it out, you can go to my site. There's a post called Race to the One Year Chronological Bible, and it kind of gives an explanation of the whole thing. Also, how you can follow along. There are actual physical Bibles you can get, but you can also follow along in the reading plan for free on YouVersion and on the app, and it has a reading plan. So if you haven't listened before, so what the chronological Bible is it goes through the Bible as things happened in time versus solely by book. And so this week we've been in, pretty much all the readings have been in Isaiah. So Isaiah is an interesting prophet. He was one of the people who said, like sometimes like with Samuel, God called him specifically, right? He said, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel responded and said, here I am. Isaiah was not specifically called. He had, if you read about the call of Isaiah was listening. He was seeking God and he was listening for God's voice. And he heard God say, who can we send? And Isaiah said, here I am, send me. He was one of the people who was wanting to go after God so much that he said, I'm here. I'm here for whatever you have me to do. And so I think that is especially significant when you think about all the amazing prophecies that God gave to Isaiah, like Isaiah 53 and the suffering servant. And there's also in I think it's Isaiah 9:6, it says there's a whole description about the Son of God and the Messiah is our wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I mean, he was given so many wonderful, wonderful prophecies because he was seeking after God and willing to be used however God wanted to use him. So this week, we've been reading through Isaiah. The other thing to keep in mind about Isaiah and actually any of the prophets. So they were speaking to a specific people and they were, so they used language and idioms that the people that they were writing to would understand. But sometimes prophecies have, most of the time, they have layers of meaning. So there is an immediate meaning, but also there's a yet to come meaning. So there can be layers. And especially as I was reading through this, Isaiah's giving judgments against nations, some of them that are, you know, around them causing issues for Israel at that time. But he also, if you read through these passages in this past week, there's also, it flips from what's coming to end time prophecies too. And so you see that things that happen in history are actually not just words, but the actual events are foreshadowings of what Isaiah will happen in the end time. The other thing to remember about prophecies is that you never take any individual prophecy there on its own. You have to look at and see what other prophets are saying. So there's always a confirmation of what one prophet gives in another book. And I mentioned last week that I taught Bahesian Bible School last week. I was giving an explanation of who the Apostle John was, who he wrote Revelation. And one of the little boys wasn't paying attention. And I said, Trey, here's the thing to remember. If you don't remember anything else, never just read the book of Revelation on its own and think you understand what it means, because the book of Revelation is not new. It's not just this weird books of this crazy vision stuck at the end of the Bible. It's actually all the prophecies of the Old Testament with, if those are the bones, then the Revelation is like the skin fleshing it out, explaining, pulling the pieces together and explaining how all these different prophecies of what God had said would come are going to come together in the end time. So there are prophecies that were for that, for the time that was, that Israel was approaching, but there are also prophecies for the end times. So you kind of have to watch that. It's like, okay, well, what was he speaking about specifically here? So, Isaiah is, very, very interesting. I love Isaiah. I mean, all the prophets are good. But going back into the last couple days of our study, there's God's given, Isaiah gives judgments against the surrounding countries, as I said, but he also gives an indictment against the countries that are immediately, or about Jerusalem itself. And his main judgment against them is because they've been hypocrites. So it wasn't like they were just going and worshiping Baal or mixing their worship. Although some of them, it says in Ezekiel, it says that some of them were. They were worshiping God at the same time that they were worshiping other gods. But he really talks about their hypocrisy. Like they put on this big show about being religious, but then their actions don't line up with their words. So here in Isaiah 29, this is on July 17th for the day, it says, the first part of it says that this is what's going to come against you. You know, they're going to be conquered. There's going to be a lot of distress. And he also says, this is the, what verse is it? Verse 10. So he's talking about those in who are coming against Mount Zion. And he said, they stagger, but not with intoxicating drink. For the Lord has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep. And he has closed your eyes, namely the prophets. And he has covered your heads, namely the seers. So I have these notes in my Bible. One of the things is that there is a spirit of deep sleep. This is something that keeps us from seeing the reality and the impact of our actions, like the truth of it's like something that it's a blocking of the Holy Spirit that doesn't allow us to see and be convicted, but it also blocks revelation. So here it says that the muting of prophecies and visions is a judgment. So sometimes in the Protestant circles, you'll have certain people that say there is no prophecy anymore. There are no visions. Anybody says that there is deluded. But what God is saying here, and this is before the cross, that if you are not seeing that lack of vision and that lack of prophecy is a judgment. And do we want to have a judgment against us, or do we want to be blessed? So we need to, I think, sometimes change our perspective about what we're looking for. And we should be expecting, if we have God in our, if we have made Jesus the Lord of our life, we should be expecting to have that communication and communion with Him. We should be expecting to have revelation and guidance by God. So in these next two, the last couple of days, it speaks specifically to this. So the other thing, and this is said, this is Isaiah is explaining why this is coming about. So this is why there's been this judgment of this deep sleep. He says, inasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but they have removed their hearts far from me. And their fear towards me is taught by the commandments of men. So they don't have any personal relationship with God. They're just doing what man says. And their heart isn't for them. And so this is part of the reason why they're getting, they're under this judgment, why there is this, they've been, the revelation and the Holy Spirit has been muted in their life. And it continues down a little bit later. It says, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? But then it goes on a little more. He's talking about this will turn around. And he promises that those have erred. This is going down to verse 24 in chapter 29. Those who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. So this is promising a restoration of this, from a deliverance from this thing of separation. But the first thing is that our hearts have to be seeking after God. And this is so, in verse 15, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, who sees us and who knows us? How many times does that happen? I mean, there's a lot of people who confess to be Christians. They may go to church every week and donate all the time. They may be, you know, on boards and deacons, but yet they think that, they act like they think that God is concerned with everything in their life. They aren't straight up with either employees. They treat them poorly. They cheat in transactions. Maybe they have like a little side thing going on with someone other than their spouse. And they think that, they say, oh, who's going to see? You know, so they don't think that God knows or that there's going to be any judgment against them. And that's just not true. That's not true. So I have a post on my blog. It says, it's a short one. It's called, What Would It Look Like If We Really Believed? So if we really believed that Jesus is Lord, that not only did he come to earth, that he lived a perfect life, that he died on the cross and rose again on the third day, but that he will come again to judge the living and the dead. Anything that is not confessed, he said, if you confess your sins, I will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if you don't confess those sins, there's going to be an accountability, right? So, sometimes I don't know. I talked about this last week. It really depends. What you believe really kind of depends on who you've been taught by, unless if you've made a serious effort to read through the Bible for yourself and ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Lord, what do you have to teach me today? What do you have to reveal to me today? And be ready to be wrong if you have a misunderstanding about something. So sometimes we get so stuck in thinking that we are, how we understand something is right, that we shut ourselves off from truth because we are not willing to seek the truth. It's more important for us to be right than to really find God's truth. And that's a very dangerous place to be because, you know, we can all be wrong about things. We can have misunderstanding. We can be sincere about something and be sincerely wrong. So I'm going to get, this is a short example, and this is something that actually happened. So I've been a registered Republican since I was turned 18. I consider myself very conservative. My entire life, you know, my background is in business. Taking classes on economics, and I, you know, watched Alan Greenspan when he was giving, you know, his report to Congress. I mean, I'm into that. I have always felt like I aligned most closely with the Republican platform. And so I can't remember the name of the post, but I do have a post on my blog that kind of goes over the whole saga of this, but there was something that happened in our school district, and I got a text message at like 6 o'clock. It was early in the morning when it was announced from a friend of mine, saying, "Oh wow, this just happened, and you know, this is going to be really bad," and you know, da da da. And I'm like, "Oh, you know, I'm sure it's going to be okay," because you know, as conservatives, we have a tendency to trust authority and believe that they have our best interests at heart, and so I was kind of like, it's okay. It's going to be all right. But then I started researching it. And after I got past like the first page of, placed PR pieces, I realized that what this person was saying was actually true, that we did have a reason for concern. And this goes into, it has about to do about education in general. I had a public education specifically, and I had a group of people who were coming together about this certain thing that happened in our district, and there were people from all different political persuasions. So we have moderates, we have Republicans, we have like flaming liberals, like progressives, like independents, you know, everywhere in between. We were coming together out of concern for what was happening to our district because it affects our kids and it affects our communities. And some of my friends who were Democrats were saying, well, it's, you know, they were saying it's, I'm just going to say this because I don't think that this is in line with Republican or conservative values. Anyway, there's very, we have a group in, of Tea Party that has very, very extreme beliefs that is here locally, and they're more libertarian versus Republican and conservative. Because the Republican Party, and if you look back historically in the history of Rome as a republic, it means about for the good of the whole. So yes, we have to try to create a situation where people can prosper, individuals can prosper and blossom, but we have to recognize that that environment is going to come about when you have the good of the whole, right? So there's what this little group that is very noisy in our area is about. They're more like, if you go back and look historically at the John Birch Society, you know, they're more aligned with that. And we were trying to look at who is behind this push in our district. Who is trying to influence this in our district? Because there were weird things going on. And these new friends that I had that were, you know, Democrats, I never thought I'd agree with anything on, said, it's a Tea Party. And I'm like, I don't think so. I know people that are in it. I don't think that's true. And they kept, you know, like, this is what they're pushing. This is what they're doing. And then I started researching more and I realized, oh my goodness, the Democrats are right. It is. They are pushing this. I didn't even know, because there's certain things, like sometimes people will state something and on the surface it doesn't sound bad, but then when you go and you examine it and you research it, you're like, that's just not good. I'm like, no, we don't want that. That wouldn't be a good thing. And so anyway, it was literally like a mental earthquake. It just really kind of rocked me to my core. I'm like, wow, the Democrats can actually be right about things. So we can't be, guess what? Maybe you don't have all the information. Maybe you are only seeing part of the information. And so you're making a determination based on that partial information, where if you had the full picture, you would see things a little differently. But we have to be willing to recognize when we're wrong, because this is a thing. Our profession of faith as Christians is that God is truth. God is perfect. God is justice. These are things that are outside of us. They are not internal to us. That us alone, we are corruptible human beings who can be fooled, who can be misled. And it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can come to and approach truth. And so it is the revelation of the Holy Spirit that allows us to be able to have the eyes to see, right? And we have to have a heart that's seeking after that truth, because Jesus is truth. Jesus is truth. And then when we deny truth, even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's not something that we like, if we aren't willing to recognize that what we've been holding to is wrong, and we deny the truth in that situation, then what are we doing? We're really denying Jesus, aren't we? We're choosing a lie versus seeking the truth. And that's one of the things that says, I think it's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm not sure which verse, it said, actually this one, it does say about a great deception in 2 Thessalonians, but this is something that actually Jesus said. He said that in the end time deception, that it will deceive, if possible, even the elect, because they did not love the truth that would save them. So, this is a thing about truth and acknowledging that where we're at maybe isn't actually where we should be. And I talked about this in my vacation Bible school with my 8-year-olds, but we talked about when you come to a place where you can make a choice, you can choose, make a good choice, or you can make a bad choice. And so when we make a bad choice, truth is here, but we step off over here. And then another point comes where we have a choice of choosing the truth or a lie. And the Holy Spirit is still here and saying, okay, this is a true thing. This is a true thing. Choose truth. Choose right. But we choose, the next time it's a little bit easier to choose to follow a lie and to believe a lie or to make the wrong choice. And then we keep stepping farther and farther and farther off till we're at a point where we don't even recognize what truth is, or we don't know what good choices look like. We can't, apart from Jesus coming in and doing a major work in our life, we're kind of a mess. And so it's important that at every single point we have to recognize, is this true or is this not? We have to really place a value on and seek after truth. And I will just, since this is on social media, I'm just going to say this. There's a very, it's very easy to spread a lie. And so you may go and, I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I've seen this. I see it so many times in a day. I don't really even go on Facebook very much anymore because it's just so depressing, the things that I see. If I were friends mostly with unbelievers, it wouldn't bother me so much. But most of the people I'm connected to are Christians, and some of the things I see them post, it hurts my heart because they just keep spreading lies, and they don't even care whether it's true or not. And so you can say, hey, you know what? That's not really, like, go look at Snopes. I mean, it's just do a little bit of research before you spread something that's a lie. Because when you don't, it's like, and it's just a share, but you're giving room to that lie. You're increasing the reach of that lie, and you are being part of the problem rather than being a light to the darkness in the world. So have an awareness of that. Have an awareness of that. Is it true? Don't just blindly show things, because there's so many things. And the thing is, we should know this because there's been so much coverage on just how there are, and I'm not saying like there's this big deal about the Russians there. It's not just the Russians. It's not. I mean, there's other groups that they deliberately spread propaganda to deceive people, not just the Russians. So don't be dupes. You know, Jesus talked about that too. He said, you know, that the children of, I can't remember exactly how, I should have this verse memorized, but sometimes the children of darkness are more savvy than the children of light. We're supposed to be, you know, as cunning as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. And what he's saying there, like if he were in Texas and he was saying that now, he would say, bless your heart. Don't be so gullible. Don't be taken in. Question things. See if what they're saying isn't actually true. Don't just blindly believe something because somebody put something in front of your face or tells you something. Check it out. Check it out, because truth is important. And if we love God, And if we want his truth and his light in the world, even in the little things, we have to be so cautious that what we are spreading is true. And if it's not, if you've shared something or put something out there that isn't true, just say, hey, guess what? You know what? This is my bad. I thought this was true, but it's not. So I just want you to, you know, I just want you to know that. And I just want to let you know. So always be quick to recognize that if you're have put something out there that isn't actually true, that you're willing to make it right. So anyway, that's enough for today. Just a little recap on what I shared. Last mentioned that there was a big corporation that's trying to hijack a domain name that I have. So this is what happened. I filed a response, and I had sent an email to a guy who is an expert in. I basically has a business about domains, and had sent an email asking him, hey, what's the deal with this? You know, cause he's actually been through it before. And he told me, anyway, he gave me some advice, but I didn't see the email until I had already submitted my response. So, there was another reply that happened, just yesterday, actually. And so I have to respond to that again. But anyway, boy, if you want to put me in your prayer request, your prayers for that, I'd appreciate your prayer for this situation, that God will to use it to his glory. So that is enough for today. I hope that you guys have a great weekend and a great next week. And I will see you next Friday. Thanks.